My guest today is Dr. Brett Champion. Dr. Champion recently resigned from his position as superintendent of the Medford School District. He became superintendent in 2019. Previously, he was superintendent for the Klein Independent School District near Houston, Texas, and Leander ISD near Austin. Dr. Champion has taught elementary school in both Houston, Texas, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He received his doctorate in education from the University of Texas, a master's in education from Texas State University, and a BA in English Lit from the University of Houston. He's been married more than 30 years. He and his wife, Marcy, have two grown sons. Welcome to The Exchange, Dr. Champion.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's an honor to be here.
Our listeners are also invited to join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. First, Dr. Champion, how are you feeling mentally, physically, and spiritually?
Thanks, Mike. And please, Mike, we know each other, so please call me Brett. I'm feeling fine. I'm good, actually. I am thrilled that the board saw fit to name Jeannie Grazioli the interim superintendent. So that's going to allow for a very smooth transition for our students and for our teachers. And so that's a huge thing. Personally, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but the reasons for my resignation, I feel like it's having the effect that I had hoped for, which is just increased conversation across the district, and paying attention to this upcoming board election. And in terms of all the rest, I think that there are good things on the horizon for everybody involved. This is a time where we can choose to see despair, or we can look ahead with hope. And I am naturally wired to look ahead with hope, and I am confident that everyone's going to find a good spot to be. Most importantly, that our students will receive a high quality education here in the Medford School District.
Well, that's one thing you always put first, and that's the students. But let's get right to the elephant in the room. You announced your resignation on February 21st, and then you produced a video that was featured on the Medford School District Facebook page. Let's listen to a clip.
I've been deeply honored and privileged to lead this district for the past 6 years. Marcy and I have loved making Southern Oregon our home. And so it's with a heavy heart that I announce my decision to resign effective June 30. This was not an easy choice, but over the past year, it's become increasingly clear that while our community desires prioritization of students, too often a small and loud contingency has continued to shift our focus to adult-centered issues. Something needs to change, and I'm willing to be that change. So I've decided that the best way to refocus on students is to step aside. Now, you, this community, has the power to impact the future of our school district. I challenge you to get engaged in civil and constructive conversations on how to support our most precious resource, our students.
Brett, you said civil and constructive conversations. I like that. But you also said there was a small and loud contingency that has continued to shift the focus to adult-centered issues. What does that mean?
Well, over the past, 6-7 months or so, there have just been a number of challenges that have been in front of the district, and like all districts, we continue to work through whatever is presented in front of us. And at the board table, it has gotten more and more contentious. There have been personal attacks and complaints and just a lot of high drama, and so we've we've dealt with every single one of those situations factually and as professionally as we know how. We have relied on folks to help counsel us to make sure that we are following laws and taking as good a care of people as we're able. And it just continued. And so whether they were complaints from outside the district or within the district, it's described. Amanda Ripley has a great book on high conflict. And that's what this was. It was just a constant stream of conflict. And that's what all we were talking about. And meanwhile, as you well know, our students have more needs than we've ever seen before in the history of our time as educators. COVID did a number on us, not just in terms of student learning, but in terms of student attendance, in terms of what families are expecting and desiring from our schools. And so all of that is happening as well. And by our focusing on these other issues, we weren't having conversations about the students and our students' needs. And so, you know, the reality is all of that we're continuing to work through. And I realize that the way to disrupt high conflict is for something dramatic to happen. And again, I'm not saying that I'm all that. but I am a major player in all of this that's happening. And something had to give, Eric, I guess, is the way I see it. Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. I got so wrapped up in the story, Mike. I called you the wrong name twice. I apologize. Sorry, listeners. Mike, something had to give. And as you well know, Mike, the only thing we can really control is ourselves and our choices. And so that's why I made the choice. There is this board election that's coming up, and I think it is a real opportunity for our community to become engaged in what the future of the Medford School District can become. And so I look forward to that time.
Well, there's an extraordinary amount of support for you, and you certainly got everyone's attention in this valley. My guest is Dr. Brett Champion. He has served as superintendent of the Medford School District since 2019. He submitted his resignation last month, effective June 30th. So, Brett, how does your departure quiet that loud contingency and shift the focus of the district back to the students?
Well, my hope is that we have an incredible number of highly skilled educators here in the Medford School District. Let's be very, very clear. The positive things that have happened in our district, Mike, are a result of incredible human beings doing great work with students every day. It is not the result of me being superintendent. I'm a piece of the team, but I am not the team. And so the reason that I am delighted that the board, on a 7-0 vote, named Jeannie Grazioli as the interim superintendent, is that work that has been driving us will continue. And to break the cycle of high conflict, there has to be something that happens. There has to be an action that occurs. And I am confident that our administrators, that our teachers, our principals, and I'll tell you, Mike, here's one of the biggest tells to me is as I watched all this high conflict play out at the board level and with our executive folk, our schools continued focusing on our students and student success. And that's due to our teachers and classified educators and our principals continuing to focus on the main things. We talk all the time here in the district about keeping the main things the main thing. And that has continued to be true. So I felt, seeing that, I realized that our goal of building a coherent system where students are well taken, where systems are in place to help students, to work with students, it's actually happening. And that's something, and again, I've said all along, Mike, this was my best guess at what I could do to help the situation in a way that that the timing was right. And with the principals and teachers and classified educators taking care of kids at schools, with this board election that's coming up on the horizon, I just desperately needed the community at large to pay attention to this upcoming election, not because of the past, but because of the future. Oh. Like, that is the key to me. It's like, sure, we've gone through some things, we've done some things, and I am so grateful of the kind words that I have received since I've announced my departure. And what we're about right now is the future of our school district and ensuring that it is one filled with hope and promise for our students.
Well, that's spoken like a true leader, and I want to get to a number of other issues. But I do have to ask, did you feel personally targeted?
Yes, I did. I did. I think part of the role of the superintendency is that it frankly, Mike, it comes with the territory. And particularly in times of high change, we had just some drama just with regular school district stuff that happens. And one of the things I know is that I am responsible for everything that happens in the district. At the end of the day, that is the fact. We tied to that, there is a narrative nationally where public schools are under attack, and that attack is targeted at board members. And so let's be clear, I'm not the only one who was targeted, but at board members and at superintendents. And so yes, I mean, I think that has come up, but that national narrative is just, we're seeing it over and over at the local level. And that was definitely part of this notion of being under attack.
I definitely want to get to some of these other issues, but now that you mentioned that national narrative, is that part of the adult-centered issues that distracted?
Absolutely. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mike, but absolutely. This is what I mean. I mean, this national narrative is not one that even necessarily is playing out in the Medford School District. We have prided ourselves in listening to our community and ensuring that what we're offering in our schools aligns with our community and their desires, and always ensuring that we're taking care of kids. And so when there are small groups of people in highly orchestrated manners that know that a way to perpetuate a narrative is to disrupt, then that's exactly what a playbook that was played out at the Medford School District level. And it's one, talking to my colleagues across the nation, it's happening all over this country. And this notion that our public schools, which are gems in our country, that we open our arms to every child who wants to walk in our doors. We turn away no one. That is a gem. There are few institutions that can say that. and to be under an attack like we are under in public schools is a disservice to the future of our nation. And so, you know, seeing it play out on a local level has been a real challenge. What it's going to take is our community coming together and standing for our students.
We're going to have to take a short break. Brett, we'll be right back. So, Brett, you successfully led the Medford School District through some of its toughest times, through COVID, the murder of George Floyd in 2020, which surfaced deep divides in our nation that rippled through all the school districts. And now we have a federal government that's dismantling the Department of Education. Tell me about some of the challenges that you face leading this district and how you address them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very, very true, Mike. It has been a tumultuous time for sure. We're, I reflect particularly, the COVID years were particular challenges. As you know, it just upended everything we knew about doing school. What does school look like? And again, I think we're still living with a lot of those repercussions. And one of the things that I appreciated during those times were, again, it's just about teams coming together and community coming together. I'll tell you what, you know, that wasn't great for a lot of things. And our students definitely suffered. It was an opportunity for us to come together as a community and rally around our students. And so, you know, particularly at the front end of that time, we had community drives for all sorts of things, and we were handing out laptops, and the volunteers were incredible. And the community's, the outpouring of support was unreal and beautiful, and a real testament to what we can be, who we can be as a community. So that part, you know, again, we worked hard. We saw that once we got a little bit deeper into the COVID situation, we saw that at-home learning wasn't going well, and we began to see feedback that schools weren't large spreading places. And so we were the first large district in Oregon to actually come back to school. And we're very proud of that fact because, again, our teams prioritized students and student learning and safety of everyone involved to make sure we came back safely. And so, you know, I am heartbroken for what our students had to deal with for a long time, but I am proud of the way we responded given the circumstances we had. During that time, of course, there was the tragedy with the murder of George Floyd. And here was another situation where it allowed for us to remind our community that we see our people of color, we hear our people of color, and that we all collectively are on this ship heading in some direction. And so I make no apologies for the work our equity teams have done and continue to do. I'm proud of the work that we've done with our students of color. There's always more to be done, but particularly we had it taught us some gave us some opportunity to have conversations that needed to be had that I think led to other conversations in the future that we didn't even know we were going to have. We had a situation with our Pacific Islander students come up a few years ago, and some of the communications and the work in our equity teams that had happened allowed us to have deep and rich conversations, and it has ensured that we really live into one of our missions, which is to know every student by name, strength, and need, and to do something about it. We work with the community on our Every Student Belongs policy. I am proud of that work as well. But again, importantly, these are great educators across this district who are implementing that, and our students who are implementing a lot of this work as well, and always keeping those students at the center. So yeah, in terms of the federal piece, you know, that our task hasn't changed, Mike, in that we strive to take care of every single kid. And we just continue to do that work, and we continue to do that work proudly, and look forward to seeing our students and doing all we can to stand in the gap for them.
So let me ask you this then. A national report card on the status of education this year revealed that increases in education spending in Oregon have not produced the desired outcomes in math and reading proficiency among Oregon students. What does that data look like for students in Medford, and what's the future?
Yeah, that's a very fair and very fair question, and I appreciate it. One of the ways that notion in that mission of knowing every student by name, strength, and need is that's all true, and it's the second phrase that sets us apart, which is do something about it. And doing something about it means to look at things like our academic success. And where are we not having it? And quite frankly, there are lots of spots where we are not. And so we actually engaged in a curriculum management audit in right after we got back from the pandemic, pretty soon thereafter. And we've been implementing that ever since. And so 2 years ago, we implemented a full ELA curriculum, K-12, fully aligned, rigorous, for every student. We're in the second year of that implementation now. Next year, our math curriculum rolls out. People want a quick fix to our challenges and problems in education. And Mike, there is no quick fix. The real fix is in doing what we are doing, which is a curriculum that is based on state standards, written by teachers for teachers, and that is aligned kindergarten through 12th grade. And let me tell you, of all the things of which I'm proud in the district, it is that curriculum, and now the curricula that we're about to roll, since we're about to roll out math, that of which I'm most proud, because that's what's going to move us. So we got some data last year, and again, our scores aren't great. They're not where we want them to be. And we began to see growth, particularly in our youngest learners, in terms of reading, in terms of language arts. We actually saw increases there. And we charted up to a lot of hard work on teachers' parts and parents' parts and kids' parts, and also the curriculum that we implemented.
Well, let me jump in real quick, because we've got about 90 seconds, and I've got a couple of questions that are really big ones. Last year, the Medford School District had a $15 million shortfall, and $7.5 million was cut from the budget. I don't know what the outcome of those cuts were, and it seems like you have so much more work to do. Now you have to do more with less. And then the district was considering consolidating elementary schools, and you're talking about the learning efforts at the lowest level because of declining enrollment. So what's the status of both the budget and consolidating elementary schools?
Yeah, we're so thankful to the community's advocacy in terms of advocating at the state level. We got a reprieve from the next $7.5 million that we had to cut in the governor's current proposed budget. And so the good news is those challenge that round of cuts is not going to have to take place. More on that to come. Our budget meeting is actually tomorrow night, is our first budget meeting. And so that's good news. We also hit a pause. Once we heard that was a real possibility, we did hit a pause on the consolidating of elementary schools. And we have started some new programs here in the Medford School District. One is a homeschool connection program that will roll out next year. We also have our schools of choice, and our goal is to bring in more enrollment. So it's not just about losing enrollment. It's about what can we do proactively to gain additional enrollment. So that's the thing as well.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I still have to get this. What's your next step? And I got about 15 seconds. What's your next step?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike. I'm not 100% sure yet. I continue to look. If folks have good ideas, I'm always willing to hear them for sure.
Okay. Well, thanks for your service to our kids, Dr. Champion.
Thank you so much, Mike. Again, apologies for calling you the wrong name a little bit there.
But no worries. We wish you well in the next leg of your journey.
Thank you.